This morning, I'm going to be reading from Psalm chapter 95. If you would like, please follow along in your Bibles or the pew Bibles with me. Come, let us sing for joy for the Lord. Let us shout aloud in the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did the day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger. They shall never enter my rest. May God add His blessings to the reading of His word this morning.
Have I ever mentioned from up here that I really enjoy working with the youth of this church? I really enjoy working with the youth of this church. If you haven't heard me say it before, I'm saying it now. I am enjoying it. One of the things that I enjoy about working with teenagers is that more often than adults will, in fact, more often than I've ever, than any other age group probably, they will tell you exactly what they think of you. And they will tell it to you as bluntly as possible sometimes. Let me give you an example. I taught Sunday school last week. I'm teaching Sunday school most of the time in junior high. And I asked a question, because we had a little bit of time left at the end of the lesson last week. I asked the question, what could we do in Sunday school to make things better? To make things better so that you enjoy it more and you get more out of it. And the first response was the best. Barely any hesitation, one of the youth piped up and, I won't mention who it was, but they said, you could try to be interesting. I liked that. That's some pretty good criticism right there. It's an ego blow, nonetheless, but it's a pretty good criticism. And I said to myself, wow, that's something to think about. And then I came into the service afterward. And in the later service, as you know, if you were here last week, Pastor Wood spoke. Now, many of you have been here for years, and you have been through Pastor Wood preaching, and you are a blessed people. Norma, wherever you are, Norma, your husband is an amazing preacher. You have everything to be proud of with your husband. And I sat in the pews, and I said to myself, I am under-gifted. I cannot believe the way that this happened. You could be more interesting, and now listening to this, it's like I have no ability whatsoever to speak. And then later I read this, 1 Peter 4:11. It says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. And I said, oh, that's easy to say. So do it as one speaking the very words of God. Well, what if the very words of God aren't very interesting? And I thought, what if I was in the pew? So I'm preaching this Sunday, even though I feel under-gifted, even though I feel unequal to the task, I'm preaching this Sunday. What if I was in the pew? Why would I listen to myself? Why would I listen? I hate listening to my sermon tapes. There's no form of torture worse in the world than making someone listen to themselves speak. Does my voice really sound like that? And then you see videos. Do I really fidget that much? Am I that skinny? How do I speak as one speaking the very words of God if I am that inadequate? How do I listen as one listening for the voice of God? And then I encountered this psalm. And through that lens, through thinking about these things, I came to wonder why it was that the psalmist changes direction so quickly in his psalm. He's praising God, and then all of a sudden he takes a U-turn and he goes somewhere else. And he says, "Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." I said to myself, "Well, wait a minute. If I'm supposed to be speaking the very words of God, if I'm supposed to be listening to the very words of God, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." So I said, "I got to preach from this chapter. It's amazing." So I started looking at it, and it came to me that there are two things in this chapter that are easy. Two things to do that are very easy, that come simply to us. And then there's something that's very hard. So let's deal with the easy very first. The answers. It's easy to say and to know the right answers. Look at the first 6.5 verses. Those are the right answers. Again, working with youth, I can ask a question and 90 times out of 100 they know the right answer. Jesus. But then I say, why? Or how is that so? And most of the time it's hem and hawing, moving this way and that. Nobody really. It's much harder to know what's after the right answers, isn't it? But let's look at three of the right answers that the psalmist talks about here. He says, number one, let's serve God. That's a right answer. Why are we here in church? We're here to serve God, to praise God. Verses 1 and 2. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. What an amazing call to worship. That's what it is. It's a call to worship. And we agree with that. We say, yeah, that's a good thing to do. We should be shouting aloud. He's our rock. He is the foundation of our faith. We need to praise Him for everything that He does. Yes, it's easy to say, I agree with that statement. Let's serve God. Number two, God is great. This is the reason we need to serve God, right? Let's look at verses 3-5. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Now think about it. God is great. There is no kingdom established on earth that He is not ruler over. There is no king on earth that He is not king of. There is no king that does not answer to God on earth. There is no power in the universe that does not fall under the authority of our Lord. He is great. He spoke the heavens into existence with a word. It says here, in His hand are the depths of the earth. As low as you can go and still be on earth, they're His. As high as you can go, the mountain peaks, as high as you can go on earth, they're His. He formed it. He made it. They're His. He's great. He's greater than the depths of the earth, greater than the heights of the mountain peaks. He measures out the water. He says, the psalm says, the sea is His, for He made it. Isaiah said, He measures the water in the hollow of His hand. Have we thought about the Pacific Ocean? I mean, the Atlantic is like a small pond compared to the Pacific Ocean. It's deep. It's deep. Measured in the palm of God's hand. We find it easy when we're met with that type of imagery. When we're met with that type of knowledge that God has made all of these things, it's easy for us to say, yeah, God must be great. And thus, it's easy to say, number three, that we belong to God. Verses 6 and 7. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. If He's so great, if He has made us, we belong to Him. And the psalmist here is speaking from the viewpoint of Israel. If He has saved us out of Egypt, if He has brought us out and established for Himself a people, we are His. He's great. We belong to Him. These are easy things to say. These are easy things to acknowledge. These are the things that when a preacher says them, we say, yeah, that's right. God is great. We should serve Him because we belong to Him. Yes. But then He makes His turn. See, we know the answers. But do we really know the voice of God? Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. This is the image. The people had just come out of Egypt. And after Egypt, they crossed through the Red Sea. Moses spread his hands and, you know, there goes the sea. And they passed through on dry land. And when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned behind them. The Lord protected His people. He brought them out and He guided them through the wilderness and brought them to Mount Sinai. And there at Mount Sinai, the Lord tells them that He is going to meet them. And so the people prepare themselves, but they're not prepared for what comes. Anyone know the story? There were earthquakes, there were thunderbolts, lightning, and terrible peals of thunder. The mountain looked like it was on fire. It smoked. There was an incredible trumpet blast and the voice of God speaking to them. And they reacted in this way. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 says, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. That was the start of it, you see. That was the start of it when they exchanged the voice of the servant for the voice, the voice of the master for the voice of the servant. They said, we do not want to hear God speaking to us anymore. We wish to hear the voice of Moses because we're afraid of God. Have you ever been truly afraid of God in such a way? You see, we're brought up on the images of Jesus being the shepherd, Jesus holding the children on His lap. And that is our God. But we need to remember that the Israelites also saw another side of God, which is the frightening and terrifying holy God. We need to keep these in balance. Otherwise, if we see the frightening side, we turn away and say, speak to us, Moses. We don't want God speaking to us. But if we overemphasize the shepherd, we become too chummy and forget that God is also holy. And here the Israelites revealed what is inside of them, the very first step towards the rebellion against God. We prefer the servant to speak rather than our master. This is because we prefer the option. See, we prefer the option of saying that's just his idea. That's just your opinion. I understand you're reading from the scripture, but your interpretation of it, that's just your opinion. We prefer to have that option. After all, what did the Israelites do? The Ten Commandments are given to them. Moses goes up onto the mountain to speak with God like the people requested. And while he's gone, what do? They build a golden calf and start to sacrifice to it. It's already in our hearts. It's easy to have the right answers. We serve God. God's great God. He is we are His and He is our Master, but it's also very easy and natural to simply disregard God. We prefer that option of saying, that's just the servant's idea, that's not God's idea. Because we know if God speaks, we ought to pay attention, we ought to be listening to God. And so we say, must I listen? Must I listen? I want to hear the servant. I don't want to hear the master. Because who cares if a preacher is up there boring me to death? Who cares if the preacher is boring me to death? That's just his idea. Who cares if he says something I don't agree with? That's just his idea. I don't really have to listen, but if God is speaking to me, then I have to listen. Who here, let me put this another way, who here really loves to read the book of Leviticus? Wouldn't we just rather have somebody tell us what Leviticus says? But you know, if we just have somebody tell us what Leviticus says, we retain the option of saying, that's just his idea. That's just his idea. Our nature, it is in our natural selves. After sin came into the world, it is in our natural selves. We find it easy to ignore God, even while God is treating us as His own. Consider the pattern of history. Adam hid in the garden. After sin, you know, before sin, Adam used to walk with God and talk with God and commune with God. After sin, he hears God coming and he hides from God. The Israelites, they saw what God did. They heard His voice and they turned away and rebelled. The prophets who speak the very words of God to the people, come among the people, and what do the people do? They chain them up, they throw them in pits, they saw them in two, they make them destitute, they don't support them. There was hardly a single prophet under the old covenant that wasn't persecuted in some way. Hardly a single one. Why? Because we don't want to hear the voice of God. Jesus came. You see, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. The book of Hebrews says, through the prophets, He spoke to us. But now, He has spoken to us by Jesus, by His Son, the greater and more perfect representation of God, the best message from God we can possibly have. And Jesus was what? Rejected. Crucified. Stephen was stoned because he brought the Word of God. Paul was imprisoned and chained and whipped and stoned and shipwrecked because he brought the Word of God. It is in our history. It is a fact that we find it easy to ignore God, to shove Him down and say, we don't want to listen to You, Lord. We want to do our own thing. We declare our allegiance while ignoring and stamping out His voice from our lives. Isn't that just the way? We declare our allegiance to God while ignoring and stamping out His voice from our lives. We're all guilty of it in some way. We're all guilty of it in some way. And Calvin, my favorite theologian, you know, of Calvin and Hobbes. He's outside with his buddy Hobbes, and he hears his mother cry, Calvin, it's time to come in. And Hobbes says, aren't you going to answer her? And Calvin says, no, she can't see me, so she can't prove that I heard her. Do we hear the voice of God? Or are we trying to suppress it and say, you can't prove that I heard you. That was just that guy's interpretation. That was just the prophet. That wasn't you, Lord. That was just Moses. That wasn't you, Lord. How often do we beat it down? You see, it's easy to have the answer. It's easy to push down the voice of God, but it's hard to change and listen. What is listening? Listening is certainly different from hearing, is it not? I think every wife here can testify to that, is it not? Can you not? Listening is certainly different from hearing. We can't help but hear. If there's nothing wrong with your ears or the nerves that lead from your ears to your brain, if there's nothing wrong with these things physically, then you will hear whatever goes on around you. I live right next to Route 30 on one side and the Pennsylvania Turnpike on the other side. Like this, I live right there. So anyway, I can hear both of them. That doesn't mean I pay attention to it. You can hear the birds chirping in the morning. You can hear the sniffles and the coughs and the shuffling around. You can hear the children and so many other things that happen here. That doesn't mean you pay attention to it. It just means you hear it. But to listen is something else. See, listening is a choice. It's an act of the will. It is us saying, okay, I'm going to drown everything else out and I'm going to listen to that, whatever that is. Listening to God means that we seek to understand. Listening to God also means that a choice inevitably follows. This is something that's natural. When we listen to God, we have a choice. But it's only two choices. We can choose either to listen and obey, to do what is asked, or to listen and tell God to His face that we won't obey. No wonder we don't want to hear from Him. No wonder it's so easy to push His voice away and try to think that we didn't listen to Him. Because when we say, when we actually listen, when we hear His voice, we have this choice to either do what is asked or to tell God we won't obey. I'll give you an example. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, Jesus is talking. He says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." I stand at the door and knock. I'm banging on the door. This is happening even now, today. Jesus still speaks to us today. And He wishes for us to hear Him. We do hear Him. But are we going to listen? Because if we're listening, then we need to come and open the door and allow Him in. Or we need to say, "No, you can't come in." Those are our choices there. It's not given to us for another choice. Come back later. He's not going to come back later. He's banging on the door. Come back later means I don't want you in. What does someone do with Jesus? He knocks. What do we do with Jesus? Well, what does someone who has the practice of listening look like? What do they look like? The dream husband. What does someone who has the practice of listening look like? More than that, what does someone who has the practice of listening to God look like? Because that's really what we're talking about, isn't it? Four things. What a listener does. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed." This one is one of my personal favorite verses from the New Testament for the simple reason that it convicts me to death. I don't even know that it's still very dark in there early in the morning. It only gets dark once a day, right? But here's Jesus getting up before anything else happens and He seeks out the voice of God. So point number one is the listener seeks out the voice of God first. They're seeking the voice of God because we want to know Him. We want to hear from Him. We want to seek Him out. Number two, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. "The Lord came and stood there calling out as at the other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" You remember the story, right? The Lord comes, "Samuel." And Samuel runs off and says, "You called me, Eli." And Eli says, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." This happens several times. And finally, it gets through Eli's thick skull that maybe the boy is hearing a voice. It's not his, so maybe it might be God. So he says, "Go back and say, the next time it happens, 'Speak, Lord, Your servant is listening. This is what Samuel does. He says, speak, for your servant is listening. So if the first thing that a listener does is seeking out the voice of God, the second thing is that they focus their attention on God so as to understand what He's saying. To make sure that we don't miss the point. If God is speaking, harden not your hearts, but listen. Number three, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. Isaiah in the temple had nothing else to offer. He couldn't say, you know, Lord, I bet you there's a nice guy down the road. He might be named Micah or something. I don't know. Maybe in Bethlehem or down in Jericho. Go there and try to find him. See, we can't offer anyone else but ourselves. A listener seeks out the voice of God. A listener focuses attention. But a listener also offers the only thing he has, himself. A listener offers the only thing that we can offer, ourselves. Because when God speaks, He doesn't ask for anything less than our very selves. God's got all the gold He can handle. He paves the streets with it. It's kind of not that worth that much to Him. He doesn't want our money. He doesn't want anything else besides all of who we are. And we need to offer our very selves. Number four, Acts chapter 16, verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave from Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, we figured out that God wants us to go to Macedonia, and so after going back to Judea and raising enough support, after reading books about Macedonia and figuring out the culture, after finding out how many language groups there are and learning a few of them, and after enculturating ourselves a while, we finally went to Macedonia. It says, at once, we got ready to leave from Macedonia. Because when God speaks and we listen, demands an immediate response. Demands an immediate response from us. And that response just might be, okay, Lord, I'm ready to go now. And He might just say, okay, well, I'm going to put you through training for a while first. Paul was sent into the desert for a number of years to be alone before he started his ministry. But the response is immediate. So these four things. A listener seeks out the voice of God. A listener focuses attention so as to understand. A listener offers the only thing that he has. And the listener obeys immediately the voice of God. How many people really truly measure up? None of us measure up. That's the whole point, isn't it? None of us measure up at all times. But we are disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a small and incomplete copy of the Master. A disciple is there to listen and then to become like the Master. We are Christians. Our Master is Jesus Christ. Our job description has these two elements. Listen and become like Jesus Christ. Listen. And become like Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, the listening comes first. God speaks to us. He speaks to us every day. He speaks to us in many ways. Are we listening for it? Are we focusing our attention towards it? Are we offering ourselves in response? And are we doing it immediately? It's so easy, isn't it? And yet so very difficult. To change and become a real listener of God. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, You have blessed us in so many ways. And so often we find it easy to praise You. We find it easy to acknowledge that we belong to You. We find it easy to acknowledge how great you are, and yet we find it so easy to ignore you. We confess that. We ignore your voice in so many ways as you speak to us through your word. We confess that we don't read your word enough. As you speak to us through the body of Christ, as you speak to us in our prayer time, Lord, we ignore you so much. We'd ask, Lord, that you would, through your Spirit, change us into the people that you would have us to be, and that you would cause growth in our lives and cause us to be the perfect people that you would have us to be as you perfect us in Jesus Christ. Father, there are many here today who need to change. In fact, we all need to change more to be more like Jesus Christ. And we ask for your blessing on all of us as we do so. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing our final hymn. It's number 226, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. If you will stand, please sing this as a prayer to our Lord.